Hey there, Columbus, and welcome to Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, your host, happy that you're joining us and hopeful that you'll stay for the whole ride. Tonight, we're highlighting an issue that has become more and more salient as technology creeps further and further into every aspect of society. The outdoors. Well, specifically how children interact with the outdoors. With entertainment quite literally in the palm of their hands, America's youth are spending less and less time playing outside and more time staring at screens. In fact, one recent study noted that the average American child spends up to 7 hours a day interacting with some sort of electronic device and only about 7 minutes playing freely outside. This frequent interaction with the keyboard and infrequent interaction with sunshine and dirt is so widespread and alarming that it has even acquired a name. Nature Deficit Disorder. Now, before any of you start roaring at me and telling me that everyone here at the station is just a bunch of old coots who call everything slightly different from our generational norm a disease, you should know a few things. The first is that Nature Deficit Disorder is recognized by medical professions and has been shown to cause things like depression, attention issues, obesity, and several other nasty things. The second is that a lot of outdoor areas, like parks and playgrounds, are trying really hard to combat the issue. So much so that a coalition has been formed to help folks from around the country gather and take stock about what it is that gets children away from their screens and into nature. Their name? Easy. The Children and Nature Network. Recently, they converged to talk over and exchange ideas, attend workshops, and even talk to our reporters. Tonight, we're featuring those interviews to give you all a taste of what goes on behind closed doors. So let's start at the beginning. Sarah Milligan-Toffer is the bigwig behind the whole event. She put everything from the attendees to the refreshment tables together, and the entire conference was her vision. Reporter Nicole Jackson interviews her to find out a little bit about what inspired her to start the Children and Nature Network in the first place.
Hi, I'm Nicole Jackson, interviewer for Youth Beat Radio Show, and today I'm here with Sarah Milligan-Toffler at the Children in Nature Network Conference in St. Paul, Minnesota. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Thanks, Nicole. So how, what was your role in putting this conference together?
Well, it was my role to envision the whole thing and put together the staff and the volunteers to help put it together. And my biggest role was in identifying and inviting our keynote speakers who were with us this year. And it's particularly gratifying to see how they were even more amazing than I could have imagined.
So what were some of the themes that came across the conference? I think it was, what, 2-3 days of conference. What were some of the main themes that you came across?
Well, one of the huge themes running throughout was diversity, equity, and inclusion, and from all different perspectives. And it was really great to have that voice coming from diverse communities. And it enriched our whole conference, and it's enriching our movement, and it's so thrilling to see.
So what was one of the most memorable moments for you experiencing this conference?
Well, I would have said until this afternoon, hearing Dr. Gail Christopher. She is an amazing speaker about how we really need to upend this false notion that we have of based on racial hierarchy and the role that nature can play in that in terms of healing and connecting us to the things that do connect us as human beings. And so that really resonated with me, and it was very, very powerful. But then this afternoon, we heard from Takiyah Blaney, who is a First Nations 15-year-old girl who is leading a movement of children around restoring the earth from an Indigenous person's perspective. And it's just such a powerful message in terms of, you know, the power of youth. And so it was just, those are the two that come to mind.
So what are you planning to kind of some goals that you have for future conference or just to kind of evolve the Children in Nature Network?
Well, first of all, one of the things I want to be sure to do, we did have over 700 people here, but that's in terms of the population in the United States and certainly the world is a drop in the bucket. And so we will be sharing our keynote speakers and presentations on our website. So I encourage your listeners to come to childrenandnature.org and check out for themselves some of the great things that are that happened here, and take advantage of those resources. And we will be telling these stories that are coming out of the conference. One of the things that we're really looking for, obviously we want to inspire people. We want to connect people, which happens at conferences. But the big piece is the action. And so we'll be following up with people to see what kinds of actions that they're taking and telling those stories throughout the year. And then leading into our conference next year in Vancouver, which is in April, and you know, really hoping to build on the momentum, the action. I hope we can report out of some of the things that people were inspired to do out of this conference and just keep building this movement.
One last question. What do you like to do outside?
Run.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for interviewing, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks so much, Nicole. You too.
Again, that was Nicole Jackson and Sarah Milligan-Toffer. Again, that was Nicole Jackson interviewing Park Ranger Nick Clemens. Next up on our special about the Children in Nature Network, we'll talk to a student named Flynn, who is exceedingly passionate about making sure people of all ages, incomes, and social situations have the abilities to get outdoors whenever they want.
Hi, my name is Nicole, and I am one of the interviewers for Youth Beat Radio. Today I'm here at the Children in Nature Network Conference in St. Paul, Minnesota. I am here with Finn. How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks.
And you attended the conference, so how has it been going so far?
It's been great, yeah. I arrived on Tuesday, and it has been a pretty full conference of panel sessions and field trips and action labs, so it's been a great conference so far.
So what was your role in attending the conference today? Are you just a participant? Did you do any talks or presentations?
I'm here as a participant, and I also tabled for the conference. I was here representing Islandwood, which offers two graduate programs for folks to earn their master's with a focus in environmental education, and I'm an alum of that program, and so that's how I'm here.
Have you had a lot of people come to your table and get information? How has that turned out?
Yeah, it's been great. We're definitely trying to recruit folks for the graduate programs, and I've had a lot of people come by and talk to me to ask me what it's about, because it is kind of a unique program where graduate students are both teaching in the practicum for fifth grade students that come to our school overnight program and also earning credits towards their master's degree. So yeah, I've had a lot of interest in the program, and I'm excited to give these names on to our graduate program coordinator to connect with these people.
What were some of the themes that stood out to you during the conference?
I think one of the biggest themes and something that I'm most interested in is how to make this movement of connecting children with nature equitable and making sure that there's diversity in this movement, but that it's really meaningful and not just about checking a box or having poster faces. Really brainstorming ways to engage diverse communities and making sure that they know that public parks are their spaces that they can use, and getting their input on what is relevant and important to their communities, and that it's not a top-down approach.
Was there anything you felt was missing from the conference?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. In this last action lab that I attended this morning, one thing that came up was the kind of a missed opportunity of mentorship. So there are over 600 people at this conference, which is amazing, and people really span the range in terms of where they are in their career. I consider myself just starting out, and there are some people who have been in this for a long time, you know, who sit on many different boards and have a lot of influence and experiences to share with younger folks. And so one thing that we kind of brainstormed that we thought would be cool to incorporate into next year's conference in Vancouver is to have sort of a speed dating mentorship session for folks. And we thought this would be a cool way to connect people who are either regionally based in the same area or have the same interest focus. And we thought that would be a cool way to really make the conference have an impact beyond just these 3 or 4 days. So that's something that, you know, something that could be incorporated later on down the line.
Well, thank you so much for interviewing, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
Yes, thanks, Nicole.
Again, that was Nicole Jackson interviewing Finn. So we've got to hear a little bit about the rather administrative side of the Children in Nature Network, but where's the fun? I mean, with all the focus on the outdoors, wouldn't you expect some sort of outdoor activity? Well, you'd be right. Our next interview is Mary Lynn Polscher, who worked with several companies to design and install a portable, and yes, I did say portable, outdoor playground. She talks to Nicole Jackson about just what it is and just how people have been reacting to it.
Hi, my name is Nicole. I am here at the Children in Nature Hi, my name is Nicole, interviewer for Youth Beat Radio, and I am here today with
Mary Lynn Polscher from the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board.
And together we are here at the Children in Nature Conference in St. Paul, Minnesota. So we had a lot going on these past three and a half days, and a lot of information, a lot of cool activities and workshops and sessions going on. So what role did you play in attending the conference this year?
So this year, I worked with a partner, Adam Bienenstock from Natural Playgrounds, and then also Shanez from Twin Cities Adventure Play, and we installed a nature pop-up park at Lake Nokomis. And it went in on Tuesday, and we put it on tour on Wednesday.
So what was the kind of brainstorming that took place to get this created?
Let's see. We started talking about this like way back in January, and originally it was probably going to be something bigger, but then based on time constraints and how could we make it happen, how could we make it feasible, we just had a lot of conversation about what can you do, what can you provide, what can I do, what can your park system handle? And so really narrowing down what the possibilities are and finding the right people who could help make it happen. So even in-house for us, that was a lot of partnering to talk to the people in forestry. Could you cut trees down for this? Talking to recreation staff. Can you help maintain it? Maintenance, can you help me install it? Can you get me a little bobcat with a loader on the front so that we could dig and move things really easily? So there was that kind of partnering going on in-house to make it happen. And then also working with Shanez to figure out a way to make sure that we could have kids on site so that everybody who came to the pop-up tour could also see what's happening and why nature is so engaging. And that worked really, really well, even in the rain.
So I was able to attend the field trip and notice that there are a lot of movable parts with the pop-up park. So what makes that different from kids going to a typical park in their neighborhood?
Sure. So this is actually the first time we've done something like this in the Minneapolis park system. And normally playgrounds are fixed and they've got the sand and there's a concrete ring around the edge and you have a very defined play space. This one we're kind of defined just with logs, but this is really meant to be creative play, interactive. It's very engaging. If you want to build a fort using the sticks that are out there, you're welcome to do that. We have hay bales. You can build a fort. You can take the hay bales apart. And just that we finished it on Tuesday morning, and I came back on Wednesday morning by 8 a.m., and it had already been rearranged and used by children. So there is just this natural invitation to manipulate and create and make your own space and your own fort and dig in the dirt and really investigate really closely or just, you know, roll those logs around and make it be what you want to be and really use your imagination.
So what was some of the feedback that you got from the parents?
Well, the parents, the general conclusion was, this is awesome. Why don't we have this in every park? We also had parents who said, well, I'm just going to strip my kid down and he can go home in his underwear because it was raining and it was muddy. But overall, people have been incredibly positive about it and really look forward to being there every day with all different age groups.
Were you able to get any suggestions from the parents as far as continuing this activity in the park?
Suggestions that we had were to continue to add things in, so we will be doing that over the course of the summer. Our goal is to have it in place in September, so like our foresters are keeping an eye out for like fun things to add into the system, like, and also like when we remove willows, that kind of thing, we'll cut those down and bring them over there so we can weave. And we'll probably do a few more things with pop-up park staffing too, so like more parents could learn more about why nature play is so important and that this kind of fun and intensive, in its own little way, risky play is actually really good for kids. So we'll try and provide that information so they're more comfortable with that kind of play.
And what was your overall kind of experience in attending the conference this year?
I had a great time. I met a lot of people. There's a lot of really great ideas out there. I wish more people lived closer so we could do more partnerships in town. But I'm just really inspired like by how many people came from so far away. I mean, this is Minneapolis, but how many people came from the coast? I think there were, what, 20 or 30 different countries that were represented here. It's amazing that this is an issue around the world, but that there's so many people invested in making a difference. So I walked away really excited about this.
Well, thank you so much for interviewing, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks. You too.
Once more, that was Mary Lynn Polscher and reporter Nicole Jackson. This is Lindsay here on Youth Beat Radio. We've been spending the show listening to some interviews from the Children and Nature Network, which aims to bring outdoor educators of all kinds from all corners of the country together. Thus far, we've heard from the event organizer, a social rights activist, and a mobile playground designer. Now we're pulling it all together. Nicole Jackson interviews two women who attended the event to get the bird's eye perspective of its impact and inspiration.
Hi, my name is Nicole Jackson, interviewer for Youth Beat Radio. I am here with Sophie and Sarah. We are at the Children in Nature Network conference in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we're kind of just going to talk to them about their experience with the conference and what they actually, what role they had at the conference. So if you would like to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sophie Sarkar. I'm with the National Park Service Rivers, Trails, and Conservation Assistance Program. I'm based in Philadelphia, and I'm also on the board of directors of the Children and Nature Network.
Hi, I'm Sarah Anderson. I'm the conference program manager for City Parks Alliance. We have a biannual conference called Greater and Greener, and it'll actually be here, right, in St. Paul in 2017. And so I'm here at the conference to scope out the venue and learn more about what's happening connecting youth with nature, as that's one of our tracks for our conference.
So we've spent the past, I would say, 3 days the conference. So there's been a lot of talking, discussing, workshops, presentations, facilitating, things of that nature, which is pretty much part of a lot of conferences. But we did have a lot of organic conversations and networking. So what would you say was the most memorable thing for you at the conference?
I think the most memorable thing probably was that there were a couple instances where there were lots of really powerful moments, and there were also some low moments. And some of the natural leaders came together and had a really real conversation about it, and like we're really talking through how can we move through this and push change right now, right here at the conference. And I think that we were able to start doing that because we had a space to do that at one of our sessions yesterday. But so it was cool to just like see that community come together and really work through some of the hard stuff.
Most memorable moment for me was probably talking with some of the other exhibitors and some of the other participants. I come from the urban forestry world, so I'm all about urban sustainability. You know, I work in urban parks now, and the concept of go in your backyard and go down the river and walk to your nearest really big open space is not quite a foreign concept, but it's not always the most practical thing for urban dwellers to go do, considering many of them live in condos and apartments and townhomes and don't have big expansive backyards or state parks in their backyards. So some of that disconnect was really interesting to look at, and there were some really progressive conversations about how we can push near nature and make that more of a topic of conversation. But it's interesting to see the conversation around accessibility in nature. That was really memorable for me.
So is there anything you think was missing from the conference as far as themes, conversations, barriers even?
I would say that I would like to see at the next conference more of a focus on racial equity in these spaces. We heard the term equity used a lot, but I think it still feels in some ways like maybe more of a symbolic gesture, and I would really like to see us go deeper into the analysis of racial equity in this sector and in this movement.
Along those lines, I'd really like to see more accessibility talked about. Just I mentioned before, there's so many people who say, oh, well, I live in the middle of a forest, or I live here, I live there. And we know that when we study, you know, what the sustainable future is looking like, over half the world's population lives in urban areas now. And we need to redefine what it means to be sustainable and have quality access to urban nature. And I'm looking forward to hopefully that being explored a little bit further with some real people who live in urban areas also being represented on more of the panels and discussions.
So one of the topics that was mentioned during the conference was rich communities in urban environments. So how do you see it as being important, I guess, of, or why do you think it's important to have this message being spread in urban environments?
Well, I think the easiest answer is that 80% of our population lives in urban environments. So if we're not being really intentional about making sure that we're engaging in those communities, then we're missing out on most of the population. But also, again, it's an equity thing. And I think I agree that, you know, it's not just about the content of what's delivered at the conference, but like how it's being delivered, who's here. I think we have a lot of work to do in terms of really living out these goals around equity and that we can actually practice within this context.
And just as Sophie mentioned, you know, we have a huge, huge portion of our population that lives in urban areas. And that means that as people spend 90% of their time indoors, we're losing stewards of those areas that are clearly the vast majority landmass-wise where people don't live, right, in rural areas and national parks and all kinds of protected and conserved forests. But we need to foster environmental stewards, the next generation of environmental stewards, and I think that rich urban communities are also rich in culture, rich in diversity of all types, and rich in perspective. And I feel like if we capitalize on that by making sure people feel ownership and feel, you know, drawn to the urban areas that are near them, that will naturally trickle into our much wider areas that are losing stewards and funds for maintenance all the time. And so we, you know, it's a continuum, as many participants were saying, and we need to do a better job of filling in the gaps of that continuum to ensure urban stewardship of natural areas trickles into stewardship of all natural areas.
Has attending the conference sparked any ideas for you as far as what's going to happen after the conference of wanting to connect with, you know, people in your community that you haven't probably connected with, whether it be through partnerships, collaborations? Has that sparked any ideas that you kind of want to start to move forward with after you guys leave?
Sure. This concept of just go in your backyard is such a brand new concept to me for some reason. as somebody who really loves living in urban areas, I'd like to work locally and, of course, through City Parks Alliance as well to break down the concept of, you know, access and ownership and stewardship of nature. Because, you know, in the 1940s and 50s, we moved to having nature be very privatized, and we need to bring it back into the public sphere. And I just didn't know that so many people, you know, think this way. And for me, I feel like it's for us as a society, it's going to be a huge barrier to overcome if we don't work to change that. So I feel like my fire got lit at this conference to go back and make more connections with, you know, suburban folks who may have a different concept, more private concept of nature than publicly accessible nature. So, yeah.
I think my approach to the work that I do with community organizing and community engagement is just ever evolving and ever developing, and my perspective on it is ever evolving and ever developing. And I think that one thing that Takaya said that just made me really like view my work kind of in a different framework was that we like really need to be serious about the people in the communities really being the ones to identify the problems and also be the ones to craft the solutions. And I think that we, in my program, we think that we're doing that, but we're not really. And so I just want to continue to be really honest about how the work is being done and to continue to grow it and develop it and modify it. And yeah, so that we can do better engagement.
Well, thank you both so very much for interviewing, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks.
Thanks, Nicole.
Again, that was Nicole Jackson interviewing Sophie and Sarah. This is Lindsay for Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. Now, that's all the time we have tonight. I hope you like the show and that you're inspired to get out and get into nature. For Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio, once again, this is Lindsay. Have a good one. Youth Beat Radio is funded by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, and the Ohio State University Extension's Outreach Program, as well as the Puffin Foundation West and private sponsors. Check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or follow us on our Twitter page or our Facebook page.